Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 10, please. What I'd like to do today, just in this service, is we're going to look through several verses, so I hope you have your fingers ready. I'm not going to give you a chance to nap. We're going to stay flipping through mostly in the book of Proverbs. But, you know, have you ever thought about how or what or when you say something, how important it is? You know, those three things right there, they all matter, don't they? I saw a kind of a humorous thing, how we can say different statements, and they can have more than one meaning. One of them said, "Let's eat, Grandma!" And the other one said, "Let's eat, Grandma." Now, it totally changes it, doesn't it? There's just a little comma in there that changes the whole meaning. You know, there a husband who was writing to his wife, he was texting her, he had made her upset, and, you know, overcome with his grief and his conscience and the lack of freshly cooked food, and there was no kissing, and he was just upset. He finally shot her a text one day, and he said, this was not me, by the way, just for clarification, my wife is here, so I do need to be careful, but he shot her a text, and he said, "I'm sorry, I love you." No punctuation in there. You know, he did not make it any better. He got home and he said, "What have I done?" You know, it is so important that what or how or when we speak, those things do matter, don't they? And it's so important that we very much consider Psalm 141, verse 3, where the psalmist prayed, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." We have this thing, and this is just a little, I let the cat out of the bag recently and told some other people. When I was born, my hair was blonde, all right? I can't help that. That's an unchangeable factor. Why are you already laughing there? You had a big smile on your face, Becky. She knows me too well. But we have this thing in our home called being Norwegian. Now, if anybody is of Norwegian heritage, this does not I pertain to you. This is simply me. But I have these Norwegian moments. It's a state of my mind. It's something I can't have. The Norwegian genes just, I got it. The majority of Norwegians are blonde, and they have moments, I think. But I know for sure that I have moments. And so every once in a while, I will say something, and everybody in the room starts laughing. And I'll say, "What?" And they say, "Nothing. You're just Norwegian." And they move on. But, you know, we you know, it's usually in jest. We have so much with our tongue that we can do to be a blessing to other people. This past week I was talking to a man. I work in a sawmill. We had broken down, and my job is once you're broken down, go help fix something. And this high-ranking person, he walked into my booth and he said, "Sit down." And I did, and we started talking. He asked me some personal questions. And it went into almost an hour-long conversation about the Lord and spiritual things. And, you know, it's important that... It's just so interesting. You know, often when everything is going right in people's life, they don't want to hear the truth. But when things happen and it rattles their sense of security or their community feeling or whatever, they seek out those that know the truth. And what we say and how we say it and also when we say it, it's very important, isn't it? And as the Lord's people, we need to be ready all the time. "Lord, set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Don't let me say anything I shouldn't say." That's really what he, that the Lord would barricade almost his mouth if it's something that's going to come out in a not good way. But before we begin, let's pray and ask the Lord to help me not say anything that doesn't need to be said. And I pray that this would be a blessing. Thank you again, Lord, for this day where we can be in your word. Thank you that we can be gathered together freely in this place, and I ask that you would help us to consider some things again and be more of what you desire for us to be. We pray this in your name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 10, you know, what you say is important. Proverbs chapter 10 and look at verse 11. He says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Isn't that an interesting picture? The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. You know, I was thinking about that passage in John chapter 4, where Jesus met the woman at the well. And he gave to her water that she would never thirst again. That woman that day trusted Christ. Her life was changed, wasn't it? And the mouth, though, of a righteous man is, in that same sense, a well of life. Is your mouth a well of life? Does it have, you know, somebody who is parched and they are thirsting and they're searching, is your mouth ready to give them what they're desiring? Maybe they don't even know what they're desiring, but they're searching for it. Is your mouth ready to give? Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 13 points out another thing, this time of a faithful servant, a faithful messenger. And in Proverbs 25:13, he says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. He is faithful, he's dependable, he's doing the task that he has. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. Again, our mouth, are we faithful to deliver what is required of us? You know, our mouth, we need to be so careful that what we say refreshes other people. There are different ways we can do this. But this really, for us, and this, the way that I'm thinking here, giving the truth, giving the water of life to other people. You know, fathers with your children, mothers with your children, husband and wife with our spouse. The needs that are in each individual person. You know, if we asked for a show of hands, who in here has needs right now? Probably all of us would raise our hand, right? And if we are careful with our mouth, we're going to be sensitive to the needs of other people. You know, there are times where we should not say something. You say, well, it just needed to be said. You know, we have this, my grandpa was very much that way. His personal hero was John Wayne. I'm not advocating that. But he was the only person in my family that I know who would just tell you straight up, this is the honest truth. These are my thoughts, right or wrong. He was kind of the let the chips fall where they may kind of guy. And family reunions were a little tense at times, because if Grandpa got upset, you're going to know about it. Everybody was going to know about it. And I do respect the honesty. I just wish he had a better sense of what he was saying. A lot of times it caused hurt. But, you know, in our American mindset, sometimes, and we see this a lot in conservative circles, or really all of them, this, I'm just going to give you the honest truth, and this is how it is. Well, yeah, no. Sometimes it's good to be honest. It's good to be upright and share what you're thinking. But just because you're being honest doesn't, we need to be careful in how we say something and when we're saying those things, and especially what we are saying. I have a son. Peter, would you mind standing up for a moment? I have many sons. I have 9 sons, but this son right here, thank you. Anybody see the size of this guy? Okay. If you can't see, it's because you're already taking your nap. Go ahead and take a seat. So Peter and I were going round and round, and I was trying to give him some instruction that he seemed to be lacking, and we were going around, and I was approaching from different angles. You know how fathers do those things. And I was sitting out, I was wearing a rain jacket, I was grilling something, and sitting on my driveway with a broken down grill in the rain. So there's the setting. Me and my Norwegian self. And we're sitting there, and I started telling him how what he was doing was, you know, was not efficient. Well, there I am in the rain doing my thing in my grill. Well, lo and behold, I pressed the wrong button. And I think he gave me a warning or two, didn't you? I think he did. Now, he wasn't being rebellious. He just wanted to help me learn. And he picked me up And he says he didn't get me clean off the ground. I say, it, whether he did or not, I could not get out of the grip. He weighs 196 pounds now. And that young man lifted me off the ground to where I was powerless. And wiggling and laughing and saying, I was just joking. He carried me across the driveway and threatened to throw me in the big puddle that was there if I didn't stop. I learned very quickly that that was not the time to tell him how he was being inefficient with his decisions. These words, they do matter. We can hurt, we can refresh, we can be a blessing or we can be a cursing. And we need to be very careful. So our words, they should refresh. Is your mouth a well that nourishes other people, that refreshes people? Words that nourish. Go to Proverbs chapter 15. And this would be, Proverbs chapter 15. And look at verse 4. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4. It says, a wholesome tongue. And that's where I get the idea of nourishing. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Is your tongue wholesome? And this would refer to things that would benefit one's health. It would give healing to the hurting. It would cure injuries. It would be something that is good for you. Do the words you say bring nourishment to the hearers? Are they refreshing? Are they nourishing? You know, there are different ways that we can be nourishing. Go to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21. Proverbs 10 and verse 21. Here he says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. And this idea, the lips of the righteous feed, and this word would mean to feed or to feed upon, to graze. It's related to an idea of the to tend as a shepherd or a herdsman. You know, your words can do that. Now, as I was just thinking about that verse, Psalm 23:1 came to my mind. The Lord is my shepherd. Do his words not nourish us? Are they not good for our health? Is it not good for curing? And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking spiritually speaking. It is physical too, but I'm talking about spiritually speaking here. Does he not tend over us as a shepherd or a herdsman with his words? Yes, indeed. In Psalm 37, verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Why will I be fed? Because I'm trusting in the Lord, and his words will feed me. His words will nourish me. Are your words nourishing to people? Is that the motive you have behind what you're going to say? Sometimes, you know, if you think about this thing of delivering what is good for one's health, it hurts the person. Remember Galatians chapter 6, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. You're to restore him, and that, I believe, was the idea of mending a bone. If you're setting a bone, there's pain. Is there not? My daughter, Kara, she broke her arm 5 or 6 years ago. They numbed her all up. They gave her a very powerful one in her thigh, and I can't remember. Basically, the only thing she was going to feel was, all of her tissue in that area was numb, but they could do nothing for the bone itself. And the man said, she's going to be just pretty much in a daze. The surgeon, he told me, he said, she's pretty much going to be zoned out. She'll probably yelp when I get this bone set. Sure enough, she did. Now, she doesn't remember any of that. She was dazed out. But, you know, it can cause pain. And sometimes the word, the message that's in the word can cause pain. But you know what it does? It nourishes. And it helps. Our words need to be that thing. Why? You know, that's exactly what the Lord does through his word for us, isn't it? And so, what to say? Well, our words should refresh, they should nourish, they should give health. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, just a page or two over. Proverbs 12:18, it says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Isn't that an interesting thing there? I can walk into a room and just unleash with the same mouth, right? Same mouth talking, same voice, everything. But I can either chop everybody down with my sword, my mouth, or I can walk into the same room, same set, same people, same situation, and I can give life, in a sense, to those who are hearing. And what is it? It's the difference in the way the words and what is being said, why it's being said, you know. And again, it should give health. It gives us strength. I think of how the words that are godly give each other strength. In verse 25 of Proverbs 12, he says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." I had a dear man that for a lot of years was a real blessing to me at that time in my life, Ernest Childs. He was a teacher at the college. And I remember one day, I don't even remember the problem. I don't, you know, when you're 19 years old, every problem is big. And I was mulling it over, and it was just kind of weighing heavy on my heart. I hadn't shared it with anybody. I'm walking into class, and the short person all of a sudden is next to me. He was a short, older gentleman. And he put his hand on my shoulder and gave me a big old squeeze, and he said, "You were on my prayer list today, kid. I prayed for you this morning." You know what that did? The heaviness of my heart caused me to stoop. Isn't that how we, you know, that the problems of life, they cause us to bend, and it's heavy. But a good word maketh it glad. That was so encouraging to know that somebody this morning thought of me and prayed for me, that God would work in my life and the things going on in my life. That encouraged my heart. He didn't know any problems. I didn't tell him any problems. That was a blessing to me. You know, Psalm 55:22 tells us to cast our burden not upon one another. We often do that, don't we? You know, you got the old phone going, "Hey, oh man, let me tell you." And, or you put it out, now today it's not even the phone thing, it's social media. Oh, yes. And everybody's posting all their problems and their rants and all these things out there. But the Bible says that God's people should cast the burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And that has the idea of rolling that burden off onto him and allowing him to take care of that burden. So again, our words, they should be things that give nourishment. It should help us with, heal us and give strength. Occasionally, our words do need to instruct in this area of nourishing. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 13. I say occasionally. Really, it's not occasional, especially if you're a parent. Our words should always be teaching, should they not? In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." Chastening, punishment for a man who's void of understanding. It doesn't mean that he's not going to talk. But what his, think about that. If he's void of understanding and still talking, are the words of his lips going to benefit anybody? Not really. You ever lost your temper? I know you ladies don't struggle with this. I've heard you'll break down and cry. The men will struggle with the temper. I think all of us struggle with the temper, okay? Anyway, men might even break down and cry sometimes. But we I guess we're more famous for the temper thing. But have you ever lost your temper on somebody while you were trying to teach them something? I had a man years ago trying to teach me how to use a bandsaw that would cut steel. And he was losing his temper with me. I was new. I didn't realize you could set up a jig. I probably had like 40 pieces. I had to cut the same length. And he lost his temper. He was watching me just do one piece after the other, measure each one individually. I was 18, knew nothing. And he came over yelling at me, rah, 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 you're wasting time. You can be rah, 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 going at it. Well, he took his tape measure and he put the piece of steel there, measured it all out, marked it, turned the saw on, and let the bandsaw slowly come down and cut right through that 6-inch tubing with the tape measure. He left it right on there. You know, I started to say something like, Jody, Joe, what? Now let me teach you something. After you mark your cut, remove tape measure. Anyway, often we will be frustrated when we're trying to teach somebody something, and we should not be that way. Do your words instruct? Do they give help to those? Do they disperse knowledge? A wise man, he lays up knowledge. He helps other people. He's teaching in verse 13, the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Do people find wisdom? Do they seek you out for instruction? Boy, that's a good question, isn't it? That's a little bit of a test on our words. Proverbs chapter 15 in verse 7. It says I'm looking at the wrong chapter. Proverbs 15 and verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Proverbs 20 and verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. The lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Sometimes our words of instruction, they bring forth wisdom, they disperse knowledge, but they also have to rebuke when necessary. There's a word that the Bible uses many times, especially in the book of Proverbs, and it's the word reproof. Paul used it when he was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy, and he said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God's words reprove us. To reprove, it's a hard pill to swallow when somebody reproves you of something, isn't it? Why? Because we're proud. I don't like to be corrected naturally. I really don't naturally like to be corrected. When I was a younger man, I don't know, I feel like an old man. I see Stephen, I see Nathan, I look at my boys, I see Sam. I remember a lot of these guys as much younger. Now I feel old, but then I see Jim and I see Al, and I say, I'm not that old yet. But when I was younger, probably 25 or 30, there was a point where I can remember back to where there was a shift in my thinking, and I loved to listen to older men. All of a sudden, they seemed really wise. I don't know if any of you have ever done that. There was a point where Pastor Andrews, Pastor Townsend, Pastor Kelly, and Pastor Bickford were all talking one night. We were at a retreat, and I was passing through the hallway, and I just happened to hear all four of them talking. And I stopped, and I listened, and not being nosy or anything, I pulled up a chair and I just sat there and listened. I never said a word. I just wanted to hear it. And they were talking about what the Lord had done in their life. They were talking about their philosophies. They were talking about doctrine. They were talking about what the Lord had just showed them that day in their reading of the Word of God. That was rich. I wish I could have recorded that. I wish I still had that. But that was men who had knowledge, and they were dispersing it to encourage one another in the Lord. They may not have even noticed I was there, but I was encouraged that night. Our words, this reproof, there was some of that there. I remember one would say something and somebody would speak up and say, well, actually, that's not so. You know, you need to think about that a little more. I won't say who that was, but it wasn't me. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. It's better to be reproved. It's better to be rebuked than somebody who just loves you as you are. Well, I appreciate being loved as I am, but don't leave me where I am, right? Help me if I need it. So, what to say? Our words should refresh, they should nourish in many ways. But how we say it? You know, this is interesting. If in Proverbs chapter 15, and we're actually going to end with this here, but maybe a couple small thoughts after this. But in Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 26. He says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." This is really interesting to me as I began to think about this verse. The words of the pure are pleasant words. The word pleasant could also be used as beautiful or kind or things that bring delight. They're delightful. Are your words pleasant? Are they beautiful, kind, or delightful? You say, well, I don't have a voice that's beautiful. I knew a man years ago that somebody, he was setting up telephone systems for a company, and somebody had made the comment to him, boy, your voice, he was set up their personal voicemail for him, and I don't know why he was doing his voice on the machine, but anyway, one of his coworkers told him, he said, hey, you have a golden voice, like the old day radio, you know, your voice is golden. And every time, I knew the man really well, and every time that man would answer the phone after that, somebody would call him and he would go, hello? And it totally changed him. And I thought, oh no, don't ever. Are your words pleasant? It's not talking about your beautiful voice. It's talking about what your words are. The substance. Where are they derived from? Are you speaking truth to people, or are you making them just feel delightful about themselves? That's not it. Not at all. Proverbs chapter 16, maybe, well, it's right across the page of my Bible, but verse 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb. Well, what is honeycomb? It is sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Those pleasant words. In chapter 3, her ways are speaking about wisdom in verse 17. And it said, speaking of wisdom, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Pleasant words are wise words. The verse that you just read on the back of your bulletin there, Psalm 90, verse 17. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. That word beauty is the same word as pleasant. The beauty of our God, let it be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. How do you talk? Is it in a pleasant way? You know, if the beauty of our Lord, or the pleasantness of our Lord, be upon us. You know, as I was just thinking about that, that would be reflected in our words, wouldn't it? Isn't that why the pleasant words would be important? The words of the pure are pleasant. The words of wisdom are the ways of pleasantness. And the words of the which are pleasant are sweet to the soul and health to the bones. How are your words today? You know, we were just saying how we have so many opportunities. We have opportunities all the time, don't we? From the husband-wife relationship, how do you talk? What do you say? Is it to edify and build? Is it to encourage in the Lord? Or is it the, you put the toilet paper roll on backwards again. You know, we use our words for things that don't really help. But we think about here in our local church, or we think in our families. Are we using our words to edify? Do people find nourishment, refreshment in the words that we share with other people? Our words are a reflection of our heart, aren't they? And if we're walking with the Lord, they ought to be things that are sweet and beneficial to other people. They ought to reflect the beauty of the Lord our God. Anyway, those are a lot of my thoughts here. I need these things. Like I said, just in the past couple of weeks, I got to a point. I remember laying in bed one night. I couldn't sleep. Now, that is a rarity in my house that Dad doesn't go to sleep. I can sleep sitting up, standing up sometimes. And I remember laying in bed and just so many things on my mind and not being able to, I couldn't think. It was very aggravating. You know, there are a lot of people that talk and ask questions when, again, their world is kind of shaken and they're seeking for truth. God's people need to know the truth to be able to share it to people at that time when they're seeking. And I pray that all of us will have those opportunities. And we have to depend on the Lord. And that's what I was going to say with that. You know, I could not think. And I remember praying on the way to work, help us, Lord, give us wisdom and help us today. We need help. Something along that line. And the Lord will. And anyway, I hope it's been a blessing. You know, there are so many other things in Proverbs we could look at here about our mouth. But I pray that each of us will have opportunities this week. And you'll remember what to say, how to say it. And you'll take advantage. Give an answer with meekness and fear. Let's pray. Thank you again, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your word. Its clarity. Thank you for your design and the purpose you have for our life. I pray we would walk with you, Lord, and we would be a reflection to the saved and to the lost of yourself, that people would see us and hear us, and they would have their minds challenged in spiritual things. I pray this in your name. Amen.